Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. I have seen ghosts. I have never thought that I would ever encounter the supernatural in my life, but when I did, it affected me so much and changed my whole perspective of life and the afterlife. I've lived in this apartment in New Jersey for 4 years. During this time, I have seen dark figures darting across my peripheral vision. I thought I just imagined it originally. I work from home, and once a day I was playing my stereo. It kept shutting off. I checked if there was a power outage, but there was none. I was working on my computer one night and something touched my elbow, and there was no one there. I was in the bedroom one time and heard a whisper in my ear and ran out of the bedroom. Then one night, I saw my first real ghost encounter. I woke up in the middle of the night and opened my eyes and saw this white figure of a man looking at me. He was wearing a suit. He was all white, like a statue in the cemetery. I closed my eyes again and opened, still there, and when I looked up, he was looking at me and smiled. I closed my eyes, and when I opened, he was gone. Then again, one night, around 12:30 a.m., I woke up, looked at the alarm clock, and then right next to the armoire was the head of a woman floating in midair. Her hair was nicely done, and she was wearing a beaded necklace. She seemed like a 1950s woman. She was there for about 7 seconds, and then she disappeared. She looked so sad as she was looking at the bedroom window. From that point on, I knew that there is a spiritual realm, an afterlife. I became very sad. As I questioned my very existence, I believed what I saw as something that is not supposed to be seen, and somehow my existence and their existence crossed. I became quite ill, both mentally and physically, after this experience. It is something I never want to see again. I now appreciate life more and the people around me. Our time here on this earth is precious, and we must show our love and kindness to each other as much as we can. I asked a psychic for advice about my experience and was told to put sea salt around the house and bathe in sea salt every now and then. I also smudged the apartment as per the psychic's advice. I now wear a rosary around my neck when I go to sleep, and so far everything has been calm. Arkansas ghost story. I have so many stories I don't know where to begin. One of the most fascinating, in my opinion, happened in Scotland, Texas, when my son Jacob was 5 and my daughter Josie was 3. They shared a room, and as with all 3 and 5 year olds, they could mess it up pretty good. I put them down for a nap in my room so I could clean theirs. First, I had to finish the dishes. I was at the kitchen sink when I heard a toy watch that we had gotten from McDonald's go off. It was Chucky from Rugrats saying, ironically, "You're not too brave," over and over again. The room was pretty trash, so I figured the watch had fallen and was pressed against something. I searched and searched, couldn't find it. I waited in the room for a minute, hoping it would go off again, leading me to it. Nothing. I went back to do the dishes, and within seconds I heard it again. "You're not too brave," it yelled at me several times. Again, I searched and searched and found nothing. This happened a couple more times. The last time I went to look, I immediately found it hanging on the doorknob. Coincidence? Maybe. I left it since it was not jammed on something, making it go off, and it didn't happen again. I went back to doing the dishes, and within a few seconds heard Jacob's toy laptop computer go into its introduction, something like, "Welcome to whatever brand it was. Please choose a game." I started thinking something else was happening. Again, we are no strangers to the paranormal. I listened to it a few times before I went and shut it off. It could either be turned off by a button or by closing it. I used the button. I was curious. The game introduced itself a few more times, and every time I would turn it off by the button. It was almost a game between me and the computer. Then after the last introduction, it chose a spelling game. "Please spell whatever word I don't remember." The response was GRNT. "I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Please try again." FURH. I shut down the computer by closing it and nervously walked out. A few minutes later, my daughter woke up telling me about a black shadow man tickling her from under her pillow named Grant. I thought I was going to faint. I knew that burning the computer in the burn pile was bad for the environment and wouldn't get rid of the spirit. But the burn pile is where it went. The ghost of the Union soldier. My father has told me many ghost stories of his youth, and until 3 years ago, I shook them off as great campfire stories. I never really believed in ghosts, but rather thought that people wanted to see something extraordinary for attention-getting purposes. Yet in 2006, my views about ghosts changed. My husband and I moved across the country from California to the Washington, D.C. area because his job required him to locate. We purchased a beautiful house, much cheaper than California real estate, in Northern Virginia a week within our arrival and promptly had our furniture shipped out to us. Every morning before the family wakes up, I do 30 minutes of yoga and meditation. It relaxes me and helps me to clear my brain in order to focus on the day's work. My very first morning in our house, I woke up by 5:30 a.m. to get a jump on the day. I settled into my new basement office with my yoga pad and began my stretches. Clearing my mind, I focused on a clear running stream while I warmed up my muscles. 15 minutes into my stretches, I was in Zen mode, completely relaxed. I laid on my back, arms above my head in prayer stance, and closed my eyes. Yet, before me wasn't the clear stream of consciousness. Instead, it was a Union soldier looking down at me. Within an instant, I saw the details of his uniform, the dirt in his hair, the hollows in his cheeks. He smiled at me as though to welcome me. I immediately opened my eyes and sat up with my heart beating radically. First of all, I didn't even know what a Union uniform looked like. I had to look it up online. I thought he was a Confederate. Then I looked up the area where I lived. Apparently, there had been a battle during the Civil War on the land where our house was built. Then I didn't believe it. I refused to believe it. However, as the months followed, I heard him talking, giving orders to his troops in our bedroom hallway. I would block it out, turn on the TV, watch SNL, whatever I could to block it out. Even my younger children could hear talking beneath the bedroom where they slept. I assured them it was just Daddy's computer making noises. Then one night before I was leaving on a business trip, I was falling asleep while my husband was in the shower. As I dozed off, I felt a presence beside my bed. At first, I thought it was my husband getting out of the shower. Then I heard a voice that wasn't my husband's. "Don't go," it said. "I will miss you." Again, I shot up out of bed. At that point, I was so freaked out, I said, "Please, you're scaring me. Could you please leave my house?" That was the last I've heard or seen of this ghost. Needless to say, I now do believe in ghosts. Ghosts from the Civil War. This happened in the summer of 1999 in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I was staying the summer with my cousin Sarah, but this one wasn't a normal stay. It was the last part of June and the beginning part of July. We were up all night one night just talking. It was about 1 or 2 a.m. She was sitting in front of the window and I was sitting on the bed facing her. We both heard cannons and guns firing. We also heard people screaming for help. She got up and came over to where I was and sat down beside me. I saw something moving out of the corner of my eye. I looked out the window and saw people walking past the window wearing straw hats and overalls. They were carrying pitchforks and shovels. I asked her if she had seen what I did, and she said yes. I got up and went into the bathroom. I felt like somebody was looking at me. I looked out the window, and there was a face looking in. A few days later, we were sitting in the living room. About the same time, 1 or 2 a.m., it was storming. I was sitting in front of the living room window and my cousin was standing up. I looked out the window and saw blood coming off the roof. I asked Sarah if she had seen that and she said yes. I looked in the backyard and saw a figure coming towards the house. It had red eyes. After that, Sarah went into the kitchen to make herself a sandwich. She left a knife on the counter. What was strange is that the knife disappeared. To this day, that knife has not been found. During the time I stayed with her, we had to take her dad back and forth to work. He drove 18-wheelers. We were going by a few houses and we could see people sitting on the front porches. The thing about it is that the people were wearing old 1800s style clothing. I asked her if she saw what I did and she said yes. Holding hands with a ghost. My story happened years ago when I was 16 and I'm now 42. I was with my boyfriend at a friend's house. The friend's bedroom was in the basement, and we were all just hanging out, listening to music, and waiting for a few more people before going out to terrorize the neighborhood on a Saturday night. In the room was myself, my boyfriend Ron, Sean, the guy whose room it was, and two other male friends, Chris and Jason. Sean was laying on his bed on his back, hands behind his head. The head of the bed was pushed up into a corner of the room, with one side against the outside wall, under the window. The couch that Ron and I were sitting on was facing the foot of the bed, pushed right up against it so that we had to put our feet up on the foot of the bed. And the right side of the sofa, where I was sitting, was also up against the outside wall, under the window. I was leaning against the wall with my right shoulder, and Ron was leaning against my left side with his arm around my shoulders. On the other side of Ron was Jason at the other end of the sofa. Because the sofa was longer than the bed was wide, he didn't have to put his feet on the bed, but could sit normally. And Chris was in a chair on the other side of the room. So there we were, just vegging out, as we used to say, listening to loud music with the lights off except for a small lamp with a red bulb in it. Mood lighting, I guess, when you're a teenager. Anyway, I slipped my hand down between the arm of the sofa and the wall and found Ron's hand, which was very cold. I interlocked my fingers with his and was wondering why they were so cold, when Chris, yelling to be heard above the music, began to speak to Jason about something. When he did that, I looked to my left, past Ron and toward Chris, to listen to what he had to say. While I listened, Ron rubbed my right shoulder, which felt very nice. I was enjoying his little massage and only vaguely paying attention to the conversation when I thought to myself, wait a minute, something's not right here. You see, I realized that Ron was rubbing my right shoulder with his right hand, and his left hand was on my knee. So whose hand was I holding down the side of the sofa? Sean was at the other end, the head of the bed. Jason was at the other end of the sofa, and Chris was across the room. All my focus went to the hand. I had to be wrong. But what else could feel like a hand, especially when your fingers are interlocked like that? I felt the hair stand up all over my body, but was too scared to move or speak. I was kind of paralyzed, but it only took a moment for my brain to finally tell my body to, for God's sake, let go of that hand. I released the hand and immediately screamed at the top of my lungs in terror. I scared Sean so bad that he jumped up to a standing position on the bed fast and smacked his head on the low ceiling. Everyone was on their feet. I don't even remember climbing along the sofa and off the other side, but I was suddenly standing. We all were, crying with my head buried in Ron's chest. The look on the guys' faces would have been funny if I wasn't so terrified. It took a few moments, but they were finally able to get me out of what had happened. There had been stories about Sean's house, that it was haunted, so the guys believed me. I was the one who couldn't believe it. I'd been to his house many, many times. I had never seen or heard anything before, ever. I wanted proof. They turned on the lights, shut off the music, pulled the bed and the sofa out from the wall, and searched the whole room. They found nothing. A couple of years later, I found myself dating Sean, and there were a couple of little unusual and unexplained things that happened to me, but nothing like that night when I held hands with a ghost. The Shadow Next to the Stone. A couple of years ago, I and two friends of mine were out cleaning windows from an art club fundraiser for our yearly art club trip. We were in a part of Rutherford that is traversed very much, and we happened upon a cemetery. I'm sensitive about phenomena, and as we passed the cemetery, I wanted to stop a moment. One of my friends is also kind of sensitive to these things, and she will agree with me that she had felt something in this cemetery. It was unlike any I had been to. It was a family sort of cemetery, but spooky all the same. The next events that happened, I can't explain. And if you ask my friends, they'll tell you the same thing. We saw a shadow of some sort next to a stone. When we got back into the car, we turned it on, and Motorhead's King of Kings was playing before we had cut the engine off. I knew and still know the lyrics by heart, and what I heard from the song was not in the lyrics. I would know because I burned the song on CD. At this point, he decided to get out of there. So as we were driving, we came onto a small curve, and we were going 30 miles an hour. Each of us felt the car jerk to the right, and my head almost hit the window. After that, my friend decided to check her glucose due to her being diabetic, but the meter wouldn't turn on. I was watching the whole time. She never took the batteries out, and the latch never came off. She was confused as to why the glucometer wouldn't turn on, and I told her to check the batteries. When she did, there were no batteries at all. 2 minutes later, and I had the glucometer the whole time, and I had no batteries or anything, and then I decided to turn it on, and it did. I looked into the battery compartment, and sure enough, the battery was there. None of us had any idea where the battery was or anything. After we stopped at our next stop, I was compelled to check the back and the rear left fender of the car. The car was dusty and there was nothing on there when we left, but when I looked, I saw two handprints. To this day, I refuse to go to that graveyard, and I cannot deny that some freaky things happened that day that none of us could explain. You be the judge of what happened and what was that shadow standing against the stone. The children's ghosts. There's a rural island called Sandwip in the Bay of Bengal, where I grew up. There's no electricity, so you have to depend on candlelight. It becomes an eerie and isolated place in many areas, since many people have left their homes to move into the cities on the mainland. I used to live in the city too, but my parents owned a small house in the village that had 7 or 8 houses built near each other in a circle with a large open area or space in the middle. My family would spend our summers there because it was close to our grandparents' home, which was in a nearby town. At one time, my mother told me that all those houses were inhabited, but growing up, I only saw 4 other families living there, and all other houses had been abandoned and locked up for many years. I hated the place because the large, empty houses always seemed a bit creepy to me. I knew that the other families had left because they wanted to live in the city, but it still seemed strange. Whenever I asked my mother if the town was haunted, she would laugh and ask me if I saw something. Of course, I never did at that time. My mother assured me and my little sister it was just our imagination, so we soon got used to it and we would come back year after year. The neighbors' kids would tell us ghost stories, but we both knew it was all made up, so we weren't scared that easily. One summer when I was 13, my family went back to Bangladesh. We moved to Canada when I was 7. And we decided to spend a month in Sandwip like we used to when I was younger. This time, we were the only family staying there since the others had moved and left too. It was pretty much boring because now my sister and I had no one to talk to or play with. We spent most days at our grandparents' house while my parents went to visit their old friends. They would pick us up in the evening and we would take a rickshaw home through the long, narrow street for about 2 miles. This was when I first noticed something scary. One night, we had left my grandparents' home at 1 at night because there had been a little dinner there. On the way back, the rickshaw driver was going through the same road like always. The ride took half an hour. On either side were all palm trees. It was like going through a forest. Halfway through, I thought I saw a little girl going into the trees. I pointed her out to my father, but he told me that it was probably a poor beggar. They're not uncommon there. When I turned back, the girl had come out from the trees again, but it seemed like she was a little boy. They looked poor because their hair was all dirty and their clothes were tattered and old. They were just standing there and looking towards our direction. I was definitely spooked, but I figured they didn't have a home or live somewhere nearby. The next day, my cousin came to visit us, and we both went to the market to buy sugar canes. She was 18, so my parents allowed us to walk home by ourselves. We took a shortcut through the trees. On the way, we saw a small graveyard with a couple of graves. We don't have tombstones, so there's no way to tell who was buried there. I told my cousin to hurry up because I didn't like the area at all. Who knows if some axe-wielding maniac happened to come out and attack us? She laughed and we continued walking. When we reached the end of the woods, we could see the stores just ahead. Then suddenly my little sister appeared from behind us and scared the living daylights out of us. She said she was following us the whole time, that we just didn't notice her because she was hiding behind the trees if we happened to look back. I told her to be quiet and that she could stay with us if she promised not to be annoying. So we bought the sugar canes and started the walk home. But there was that little poor girl again, this time at the marketplace. She was following us, asking if we had any money to give her. We noticed that her little brother wasn't there. I took out a few coins and handed it over only because I just wanted to get away and she really scared me. She took it, but then asked my sister where we lived because she said she remembered seeing us. The girl didn't even look at me or my cousin once. which seemed a bit odd. I told her we just came to visit, and then I asked her if she had a little brother, because I remembered seeing the little boy clearly. She shook her head, still looking at my sister rather than me, saying she had no siblings. I told her that I saw her the night before with a little boy. She shook her head and told my sister instead of me that she wasn't with anyone and that she lived with her mother in a small house on the other side of the woods. Then she walked away and went to ask for more money from other people. My sister asked what that was all about. It was creepy, but I figured that the little girl was closer to my sister's age, so maybe that was why she felt more comfortable talking to her instead of me or my cousin. Anyway, all three of us were puzzled. When my cousin, my sister, and I were walking back, I asked my sister if she had seen the little boy the night before. She shrugged, saying that she didn't remember. A few days later, I remember going to the outhouse, and it was raining a little too. I hated going by myself. When I was passing the little pond behind our house, I thought I saw two people swimming in the water. I looked back, and there was no one there. I didn't care about the bathroom. I just ran back home as fast as I could. That summer was definitely the scariest summer I ever had, but for many other reasons. I kept hearing splashes in the water several nights. My parents heard it too and figured that it was just a trespasser or a dog trying to get a drink of water. We kept watch many nights but never caught anyone or any dogs. One time, I looked out my window when it was foggy, and I could swear I saw a blurry figure in the window of the house straight across from us. I tried to light a candle so I could see better, but I couldn't find any. Later, I found a whole pack of candles, even though I remember that we ran out of them the day before and that none of us had gone to the store since. Last year, my parents sold the house, and I'm glad that I'll never have to go back there. I don't know if any of this is related. The little boy who I saw with the girl by the palm trees, the people I thought I saw in the water, and the person at the window. I heard a couple of stories about how the body of a little boy had been found in a pond in the 70s, but that was in a nearby town and not the one I stayed in. Plus, the boy who had died was not poor. Apparently, he had been murdered by an old guy that would go around asking for money. I don't even know how much of that story is true. People distort stories a lot, and maybe that never really happened. But whatever it is that happened, I'm just happy now that I won't have to go to that place again. I think the whole island is creepy, and not just at night either. There's not any electricity either, so just imagine how scary even little shadows can be at any given time of the day. No doubt I know that that island is full of ghosts, even if I was lucky enough not to see them. The little boy ghost. When I was a kid, I was laying in my bed and saw something out of the corner of my eye leaving my brother's room. Instantly, I thought it was my little brother, so I followed it out into the balcony, which had about a 15-foot drop. I remember feeling the ground cold and wet from that day as it had been raining. So I walked to about 30 feet from the figure, which I thought was my brother. I said, "Hamish, is that you?" Calling my brother's name, all it did was turn around and stare at me. At that instant, I knew it wasn't him. He was dressed in white rags and had a dirty face. He was dressed like a boy that looked to have lived about 100 or 150 years ago. I went closer to him, asking if he was okay, with no reply. Yet again, I moved even closer. He then made a sudden jerk to the edge of the balcony and then quickly jumped off. I ran to the edge of the balcony to see if he was all right, but there was nothing there. It happened at a place called Old Eero Bay, and is entirely true. I'm now 21, and I did some research on the area, and there was a farm there about 100 years ago with a little boy who lived there and had died from falling off the roof while helping his father fix the roof shingles. I believe that that little boy I saw was the boy that had died 100 years ago. The little girl's ghost. 2 years ago, I lived in southern Oklahoma. My wife and I were living with her brother while I was working in the oil field. My wife is always able to feel the presence of ghosts, but I really never can. She said that she always felt that a young girl was watching me. She said all she could ever feel was the girl watching me, no matter what I was doing. I told her, "Well, I can't feel her or see her, so I'm not worried about it." And I've always just believed that some people could see ghosts and some couldn't. One day, I got off work early and I was the only one there, so I took out the trash. The trash can was out at the edge of the street. All you had to do was turn around and you were right in front of the front door, about 30 feet away. I put the trash in the can and then picked up some trash that was on the edge of the grass. When I bent down, I had the strongest feeling that I ever had that I was being watched. I then looked back at the front door because it felt like it was coming from the house. I saw nobody, so I shook it off and forgot about it. 3 weeks later, I was making my lunch for work one night. I reached up to grab a bag for my sandwich, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little girl with long blonde hair, and she was wearing either a nightgown or a burial gown that looked like it was from the late 1800s or early 1900s. It definitely wasn't something that you would have seen in this modern day. I don't know what she wanted or who she was, but I do know that I saw her. I don't know if this was the ghost girl that my wife was referring to. I don't know why she's following me around. I just don't even know who she is. But that she's not of this earth, that I do know. Something standing behind me. It was 2008, and I was working alone in a rooftop air conditioning facility on the campus of Mississippi College. I'm not sure what time it started, but I would suddenly feel someone behind me. When I would turn to see who it might be, I would see very distinctly a dark shadow quickly race out of view. I dismissed it at first, but it continued 5 or 6 more times during my time on the roof. Always the same. I would feel the presence of someone behind me, and then I would turn. I would see the shadow out of the corner of my eye disappear into nowhere. It wasn't a reflection. There's hardly any light in the place. There are no windows. It had never happened before. I have spent the last couple of weeks doing work there. I had no reason to think the place was haunted. When I casually mentioned the incident to a coworker, much to my surprise, his coworker turned white as a ghost himself. Apparently, he had his own experience that same day, in the same building, also working alone but in the basement of the facility. My coworker stated he was working on his laptop in a secluded section of the boiler room when he noticed the figure of a man reflected in the laptop screen. The figure disappeared when he turned around to see who was behind him. Like my experience, he felt the presence of someone behind him. But unlike my experience, he saw the outline of a person in the screen who simply wasn't there when he turned around. When I asked around the college, which was established in 1826, no one heard of any similar stories, but I did learn the campus was a Civil War battleground. The particular building we were both working in also served as a hospital in the past. Both would explain the presence of ghosts. I'm also in the process of trying to find out if that particular date of November 13th was significant and would explain why the both of us experienced the events on the same day and in the same building. No doubt it was probably the same ghost or shadow man checking on both of us to see what we were doing that day. The shadow man. The property that I live on is pretty old considering that it has slave quarters and an old airplane hangar. There's the master's house and an old barn where a man was hung for reasons unknown to us. My uncle's house lies between the barn and the airplane hangar. There's 3 houses on a 10-acre stretch of land, not including the main house or what they call the master's house. So my cousins and I are always at each other's house. That day that we saw the shadow was a very wet one, seeing as it had rained before. We looked out the window and saw a dark mass in the shape of a man just walking up. He had no hat and he wasn't a soldier either. But I got the feeling that he wasn't from around here. Well, not from this time period. It stopped and stared into the window. And I felt within my gut that it was something evil. I felt my knees give out, and I screamed. All I could remember was my cousin shaking me and telling me that it had gone away. Before I could explain what I had seen, I tried to regain my composure, and I asked the others whether they had felt anything, and my brother said no. My cousins only nodded in agreement with him. Did that mean I was the only one that saw this? Wanting to see if my uncle had played any tricks on us, and to confirm my belief that we had seen a manifestation of a shadow man, I ran outside. The whole yard had mud patches, and right below the window where the man had walked by, there weren't any footprints, nothing to be found. A few weeks went by, and my grandmother was talking to a man that had once owned the land we live on. He told us about two deaths on the property that he thought we had the right to know about. One was his father, who ran into a tree with his tractor. He was allergic to bees and died shortly after being stung by an army of wasps. The second was of the man that was hung in the barn. But I've been told that there was murder on the property as well. I don't know about that story, but I wonder which one of these was that shadow man that was walking up the driveway and looked into the window. The shadow. I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona, where I shared an apartment with a friend. One night, I felt that I wasn't alone in the apartment. I figured I was just tired. After all, it was almost 1 a.m, so I started getting ready for bed. I walked into my room and started crawling into bed. I reached over to my nightstand to turn off my lamp and laid there trying to go to sleep. All of a sudden, I got this feeling that I wasn't alone. I looked over towards the closet and I noticed this big black figure. I blinked my eyes and looked again. It was still there. I turned on the lamp by my bed and looked towards the closet, and it was gone. I figured maybe I was losing my mind. I turned off the lamp and went to sleep. The next night, I was home with my friend when out of the corner of my eye, I saw the black figure standing by my room. I froze and just stared at it. My friend must have noticed because she nudged me and asked if I was okay. I turned to her and said yes. I figured if I told her, she would think I was crazy. For the next few nights, I kept seeing this black shadowy figure. I was scared to go into my room. I never wanted to be in the apartment alone. I never told anybody about this. I kept it to myself until the shadowy figure started to follow me. Wherever I went, the shadow went. When I left the apartment, when I was in the kitchen, even while I was in the shower, it was in the bathroom with me. I couldn't sleep anymore because it would be by my bed watching me sleep. I was afraid of this dark figure. I finally decided to go back home to my family just to visit them. It followed me there too, hundreds of miles away, and there was that black figure. I'm Native American, so when I told my parents and my grandmother about this, they told me to go to the medicine man. This was a traditional kind of healing. I went and told the medicine man what was going on. He started to pray and chant and do his traditional healing on me. We found out that a man had been murdered in my apartment and that the shadow that had been following me was the man that had been murdered. We got him to stop following me, and I moved back with my family. I don't see him anymore, and I sleep a lot better these days. If I ever decide to move out again, I will make sure to find out the history of where I'm moving into.